Again, so a couple different things I'm going to be talking about this morning. So first of all, you see us wearing these shirts. So, you know, today is our kickoff t-shirt stuff and there are displays out there. But one of the things on the shirt is, I think, three or four different designs. But this one says, serve God, serve people. And we weren't just looking for, you know, words to put on shirts. This, if, like, we had some meetings with Putty, our staff had a meeting with him on Thursday, and, you know, challenging us to get a better focus on who we are as a church. And if anyone were to ask me, what is the focus of Vineyard Community Church? What are we about? I want you to know this is my answer right here. We serve God and we serve people. This is who we are. And it means something to me to say this is, you know, every church has a different focus. Every church has a different emphasis. I believe that's why there are so many different churches. That's why God makes so many different people. It takes more than one church to represent the kingdom of God. But you know, for the last, I'd say maybe 10 or 11 years, as a church, we really have honed in on this with our clinics. And prior to that, we did lots of community outreaches, and we still do. But we are about the business of the kingdom of God. And so the t-shirts are cool if you want to buy one. There's all different designs and styles. But I chose this one because this is who we are. And I would just say to you, if anybody ever asks, well, what's your church about? You can say it in four words. Serving God and serving people. This is what we do with our lives. And this is what I eat, drink, and sleep. This is what I want to take to the grave. I'm going to do this till I die because I know that is where life is. So anyway, today's our kickoff for our t-shirts. So you'll see them out there and, you know, just t-shirt stuff. And eventually we'll have hats and gloves and shoes and socks and I don't know, you know, sports coats, windbreakers. We'll have Dave Diani's clothing line. And Roxanne will do a perfume line, you know. I don't know. All right, Joe, just a little feedback. We just got back from our guys' camp out. And, you know, I just want to take a minute to talk a little bit about this. You know, most churches have what they call men's retreats. And I think men's retreats are awesome. And we've had plenty of them. But I want you to know our guys' camp out is our men's retreat. It is an awesome time. And those of you guys that were there, I know you know what I'm talking about. There's something special about sitting around a campfire and just hearing guys tell stories, tell their life story. Everybody got, you know, 5 minutes, and man, I heard some stories from some of the guys, young and old, that I will remember the rest of my life. I heard Nick Lyons tell the story of the birth of his son and the medical challenge they had to overcome. Heard Daniel Sheets tell the story about his last name and changing his last name. And wow, Mike Ruckdash talked about the giving and revelation on giving, and it's like everybody started jumping in on that, and just a number of different stories I heard. Rob Gibson told a story about how he and his wife found the church, and you know, I think something about getting away, there's something healthy about that. It's not just guys, and I don't think it's just a guy thing. As a matter of fact, think about this. In the Gospel of Luke, it said Jesus went often into the wilderness. Often. So we wouldn't use the word wilderness today, although probably it was wilderness. We would say out into the woods or something. I think it's healthy. I think you should get away. And I think sometimes we get way too busy and we miss out on this getting away. And so we offer this as a church function, but I mean, even if you can't do this, let me just tell you, it's good to get away. Set some time aside, get out in the woods, get off by yourself, or get off with a group of people and change your routine for that day or two. Change your eating habits, change your sleeping habits, change your who you're communicating with. And I tell you, you will be a better person for that. It is a great experience, and I'm so glad that we got to do it. Now, of course, the rain made it much more of an adventure. Everything I have is still soaked. I tried to do the hammock thing, and the weather didn't cooperate, so I ended up sitting up in the van seat for most of the night. And of course, you know, shooting guns a couple thousand rounds and fishing always plays into it, so that's a lot of fun. But I think more than that, it's just hanging out with people. It's like Chip was just talking about. If you read the Gospels, you will find out that was high on Jesus' list, hanging out. He hung out with everybody, all sorts. He had his group, his 12, but he hung out with everybody. And I believe it's part of the richness of life. And so let me just encourage you. You know, if you don't want to do the camping thing, I totally understand that, but get away. Get away. But if you want to do the camping thing, come hang out with us next year. It is a blast, guys. It's a blast. And ladies, you got the ladies' canoe trip coming up. Again, it's the same kind of thing. It's break your routine, get off in the woods, see the river, see the trees, hang out with some ladies. I just think if you're not careful, you're going to run through life and just get up every morning, go to work, go home, on Friday get your paycheck, and then all of a sudden 5 years have passed, 10 years, 20 years, you're looking back, what happened? You're going to miss out. There's so much richness, and especially getting away. So anyway, encourage you, ladies, go on the canoe trip. You'll meet some new ladies, have some fun, and again, break that routine, and I think you come home a better person. You'll definitely come home tired and wet. You know, that's the way it is. I came home tired last night, still haven't unpacked my van, but hey, it was fun. It was definitely fun. So anyway, that's just one thing. And then a couple of other things I want to talk about here this morning so I don't forget them here. So the month of July, we're kicking off today our parking lot campaign, all right? So you probably saw the little display out there in the foyer. It's a fun just visual, but let me just talk with you a little bit about this, because you know if you're driving in here, our parking lot is a disaster. I mean, it really costs a lot to get this thing repaved. It's $575 per parking space or $48 a month for 12 months. But we're asking you to pray with us in the month of July. We're going to do our best to see what we can raise in the month of July, and then we're going to get this parking lot paved. And the idea is we're trying to do it with as little debt as possible. And it takes sacrifice, folks. It takes sacrifice. It costs a lot to run a church. You know, I'm here going on 40 years, and this has got to be our fifth or sixth stewardship campaign. We collected money when we built the first building, and that time we paid cash and built it ourselves. We said, we're going to do this. And then we had gravel parking lots. We had another stewardship campaign, raised money to pave the parking lot. Then we did a stewardship campaign to build this building. Then we did a stewardship campaign to build the wing in the back. Then we did another stewardship campaign to buy the property along Palmer Road and Taylor Road. And we're back up again, another stewardship campaign. And here's the thing. When you do this, it gives you ownership. You know, some of you are newer to the church, and you're being blessed on the backs of other people who have sacrificed. And those who give, you give unto God, but you know you're investing in the kingdom. People are going to be blessed. You're being blessed because of people who invested in what we have now. So here's your chance to invest and be a blessing to other people. We repaved the parking lot. We'll get another 20 years out of it. And then sometime again, we'll have to do it again. But you can pay for your own parking space, $575 or $48 a month for 12 months. But then also think about paying for somebody else, paying it forward. Pay for somebody else's parking lot. Let's do this with as little debt as possible. So, and just as a visual, if you make the pledge, if you would write it in the bulletin, let us know so we can kind of track what's happening. And then also pick one of those cars out there and put it in a parking space, write your name on it, paint on it. And if you don't like the cars, go buy one of those Matchbox cars, buy a really cool car and put your name on it. You know, buy a cool Corvette or something or whatever you want to buy. But try to fill that parking lot up for us, all right? So the whole month of July, that's where we're heading. And then at the end of July, we'll figure out what we got coming in, and we're going to move forward. We're going to get this thing done and finish off this whole project out here. All right? So just wanted to talk a little bit about that coming up. And then, one more thing, and that is the Jazz and Rib Fest is coming up, and I just wanted to let everybody know. So, part of the fun of the Jazz and Rib Fest has been the rib cook-off. But we usually have about 8 or 9 guys doing the cook-off. Well, this year, because of movement and different guys' schedules, we're down to 5 on the cook-off. So we're going to do the rib cook-off. But what I want to present to you is to say, look, if you like to grill chicken, fish, I don't care, hot dogs, whatever, so that we could get more guys out here grilling so that we don't have to buy the stuff and sell it, because then we buy it and pay $1.50 for what we pay for. We sell it for $1.50, end up losing a little bit of money because some of it gets eaten in the process. So if you want to help out and be one of the cooks, let us know. And then that we'll just try to offer some other options if you don't want to smoke ribs. If you want to smoke ribs, that's great. If you want to just grill them, that's great. But we're looking for some extra cookers so that we can get this thing together. And then if you're newer to the church, this is really a big event for us. This is like our summer big thrust. For you people to invite their neighbors and friends, and also to just come on out and get involved, volunteer for something, work an hour shift at the, you know, one of the tents where we have desserts, or an hour shift at one of the inflatables or whatever. But, you know, you just get to mingle with some people. It's a really good chance. And again, it's a great event to invite people. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll get some more cooks. All right? All right. So I'm gonna do what I call a short devotional here this morning. But if you do me a favor, turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John chapter 5. This is something that's just been stirring in my heart since Putty was here, and just been going over and over this passage. And we're also, the guys I meet with on Wednesday, we're working our way through the Gospel of John, and we're in this chapter. And it's just something I want to say to you, sort of a follow-up from last week. You know, we had a real special service here last week, called some people out, got to pray for some people, really saw the movement of God's Holy Spirit. And I know sometimes people wonder, well, what is that? What's going on? And so here there's a chapter 5, and Jesus just, the beginning of the chapter, just goes in to what we would call today a hospital. It's called the Pool of Bethesda, where it says there were a multitude of sick, lame, blind, crippled people. He goes in, heals one man, and leaves. And it's a great story to throw a wrench in your whole theology about how Christianity is supposed to work. Jesus goes in and does it purposely on the Sabbath, just to irritate the religious leaders. Think about that. He doesn't even introduce himself when he heals the guy. He heals him and leaves. Then when the guy finds him, he threatens him. I mean, this is the Bible. Read it and you'll see. The man finds him, and Jesus said, "You better not sin again or something worse is going to happen to you." I mean, this is stuff in the Bible. You'd be like, so of course we just read it and go, "Oh, that's cool, that's Jesus, everything's nice." But every now and then it's good to say, "Wait a minute." So he gets in this argument with the religious people because he healed on the Sabbath. But what I'm interested in is what Jesus says here, because this will help us try to move with God. So it's in verse 19. They're all getting mad at him. In verse 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" If there's ever a verse you want to become familiar with in the Bible, this is one you really want to be familiar with. Actually, this is called, among Vineyard pastors, classic Vineyard theology. John Wimber, who was one of the early leaders, the leader of the Vineyard movement, used to teach and used to paraphrase verse 19. And what he used to say is, listen, Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing. That's my motto. I only do what I see the Father doing. If we can learn to live by that motto, life is better. Things work out better. It's when we get ahead of God, when we fall behind God, when we're not doing what he's doing, when we try to do it in our own strength, life gets frustrating. But there's kind of a key here. And if you just back up a little bit, he says another thing, which is kind of an important passage here that matches this. Verse 17, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" Now, this is really interesting. Jesus said, they said, "Why'd you hear on the Sabbath?" He just said, "Because my Father's working. If he's working, I'm working." I mean, that was his answer. But there's something here where he's saying, "My Father's on the move. My Father's on the move, and if he's on the move, I'm on the move with him." What this is saying is, God is on the move. He didn't go on sabbatical after Jesus died. He didn't go on vacation. He didn't decide to only work one day a week. He did not retire. He's working. Actually, it's really started when Jesus came. I mean, the kingdom of God bumped up a notch, and Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is now." He brought the kingdom of God. He was advancing the kingdom of God. And so what this is saying is, God is on the move. God is on the move. And then in verse 19, he says, "And I'm looking to see where is he moving. And wherever he's moving, I'm moving with him." This is Jesus talking. "I only do what I see the Father doing." So this explains, in a sense, why Jesus went into the Pool of Bethesda, that little area, and only healed one man and then left. Of course, if I was there, I would have corrected Jesus. You know, "Heal everybody, Jesus." I would have been like Peter, and then I'd get rebuked. Or I would have got Jesus after and say, did you even invite that guy to church that you healed? Nope, I didn't even introduce myself. Whoa, what's up with that? I'm only doing what I see the Father doing. Imagine living like that. Now, it doesn't explain the mind of God. I don't think we'll ever understand the mind of God, but first, let's try to just work with him. If God's doing something, I want to see it, and I want to work with him. And so I just want to help you this morning, because this helped me when I started getting involved with the Vineyard movement. When I first met John, way back when, he would say, "I see the Father moving." And I remember asking him, "John, what are you seeing? Like, I thought the supernatural was so supernatural. You don't see anything. It's just in the spirit. And so John said, well, some of it is in the spirit, but some of it's in the natural. Actually, if you back up two chapters, Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus, and he says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we all know that's a chapter on being born again, and we know that's a chapter on talking about entrance into heaven. You cannot get to heaven unless you're born again. But when Jesus says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, he was talking about more than just dying and going to heaven. It's a broader understanding of the kingdom of God. He was talking about the movement of God now, in your life now. So he's saying you cannot be seeing the things of God unless you're filled with God's Holy Spirit. The born-again experience is an encounter with God where God's Holy Spirit opens your eyes, gives life to your spirit, and you're regenerated, and it's called being born again. Jesus said you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You can see the movement of God. This is what these passages are talking about. You can see with your eye. I think there's different levels. Like, for instance, you can see physical things in the spirit realm. So Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, after he talked about being born again, he said, and by the way, Nicodemus, the spirit is like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see where it's moving. Maybe today we might use a different analogy. You might say the spirit is like electricity. You can't see electricity, but you see the results of it. You see the lights going on. You see, if someone were to put their hand in a wall socket, they would have a reaction. So we're not seeing the electricity. We're seeing a reaction to the electricity. We're seeing the fruit of electricity. Well, the spirit is like that. You can't necessarily see the Spirit, but you can see the Spirit of God moving, and you can see it in a physical realm. So I think sometimes we see this stuff, but we're not alert to the Spirit. So I just want to help you and say, look, sometimes if you see a person and they're starting to shake gently, or they're starting to cry, or their face gets flushed, or they have this breathing that changes, there's a physical manifestation of a person responding to the Holy Spirit. And I think Jesus is saying, you can see this, and then it's just a matter of deciding, do you want to work with God or not work with God? And I think there are different levels. First of all, it's in our own lives. Can you see God working in your own life? Again, if you're not born again, two people can be walking together, one born again, one not. They can see the exact same thing. Perfect story is in the Gospel of, I think it's Luke, is the story of Lazarus' resurrection. Lazarus is raised from the dead. Those who were enlightened by God's Holy Spirit saw it as a miracle. Those who weren't were threatened by it and wanted to kill Jesus. They saw the same thing, but they didn't see the kingdom of God. But if you can see the kingdom of God, can you see the kingdom of God first in your own life? Is God moving in your life? How many people go through life and don't see it? God calling you to do something. Change your job. Maybe this relationship is out of order. God trying to move in your life. Maybe it's something you need to do physically. Maybe it's something you need to start doing. Maybe he's calling you to get involved in a ministry or go on a mission trip or something. Is God moving in your life? Can you see it? If you can't see that, we're not going to make much progress. You're going to go through life and miss the kingdom of God, which Jesus said God is on the move. He's on the move. So I think the first level is, first of all, can you recognize it in your own life? But also, can you see God moving in other people's lives? Well, you can see and hear. Sometimes people tell you a story and you go, wow, man, that's God. God's speaking to you. You move right in. You recognize it. Or again, if people are praying and you sense the Holy Spirit and they're starting to have reaction, you have a choice to make. Do you want to get involved with the work of God, go over and bless that person, encourage that person, or do you want to step out of it? You want to be left behind. But keep in mind, Jesus said you can see God moving. That's just a piece you want to hold on to. It is not so mystical, it is not so spiritual that you can't see it. You can see it in the physical realm, but I think also sometimes, again, as you mature, you see things in the spirit realm. You just get a sense. But you just don't wake up one day and, and move into the thing where I can see the Spirit of God without even seeing any physical manifestations or even hearing a story, where you can just move in the Spirit. It's growth in anything. You can sense sometimes. Sometimes you may be in the church service and you're praising God and you're worshiping God and you're and all of a sudden just God draws your attention to a particular person. Well, maybe that's the Holy Spirit saying, maybe after the service you might want to go over and talk to them. Maybe you hear some story and all of a sudden, you know what, can I pray for you? And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up and all of a sudden this person's life is being transformed. This is what Jesus is talking about. If we learn to move with God, stuff happens. If we try to get ahead of him, if we get behind him, stuff doesn't happen. So I just want to encourage you to say that God's on the move here in the church. There's some really cool stuff happening. Our School of Kingdom Ministry is helping us begin to grasp the idea the kingdom of God is on the move. God, I mean, think about this, just in summary here. You wake up in the morning and you go through your day. Do you have anything to say to people that you see at work? Do you have anything to say to people in your household? Do you talk during the day or are you completely silent? You talk, right? Some of us probably a little more than others, but some of us a little less. But if you went through the day and said nothing all day, nothing, not one word all day, wouldn't you think that's unusual? Wouldn't you think that something's wrong? Well, how is it that we know we should be talking and communicating and we do it naturally? How is it that we think God is silent? Jesus said God's on the move. He's working. He's talking. He's looking. He's trying to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's trying to advance his kingdom. The only way he's going to do it is through us. But it's so awesome to begin to realize you can see the movement of God. You see it in your own life, and when you see it, you want to train yourself to say, yes, Lord, I surrender, whatever it is. It hinges on this. If your relationship with God is healthy, and you know that God loves you, and he's looking out for your welfare, your ability to say yes to God is a little easier. If you're not sure about that relationship and it's unhealthy and you're thinking that you have to always make God happy by doing things and that he only loves you if you do good things, it makes it difficult. But if this is why I think Jesus was talking about being born again. Being born again is a connection with God that is real. When God's Holy Spirit's in your life and you begin to understand, God loves me. He's a father. He cares more about me than I could ever care for my children. And so if God cares about me that much and he's only looking out for my good, if he's moving in my life and asking me to start doing something or stop doing something, that's the kingdom of God advancing. Can you see it? Yes. Do it. Do it, because there's power there. There's life-changing power there. And the kingdom of God advances. It advances in your life. It advances in other people's lives. Amen? Let's stand up. Father, I thank you that I thank you that you're working, God. Jesus said you're working and he was working and we want to work with you, God. How great is that? We get to partner with your Holy Spirit in the work of advancing your kingdom, every one of us, God. I pray today, God, you begin to open our eyes, that we begin to see a little more clearly your movement, your kingdom advancing in our lives, your kingdom advancing in our friends' lives, your kingdom advancing in our family here at church, God. God, that we train ourselves to say, yes, I'm in. I want to be a part of it, God. We want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be done on earth, God, just like it's done in heaven. Holy Spirit, just open our spiritual eyes. Open our physical eyes. Help us to be more aware. When we see stuff happening that we recognize it's your Holy Spirit, God. We just welcome your presence here, Father. In Jesus' name. And we're going to enter into time of worship. Our ushers will come forward. We'll take our offering. And then we'll have some time for ministry. Thank you, God. And we're here to honor you, God. We're so grateful, God. You have revealed yourself to us, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a minute here and just open our hearts up to God. And I just get this sense that the Holy Spirit's knocking at some doors, some people's hearts here right now. Talked about earlier about being born again. There is a time in every person's life where you have to come to grips with, where are you at spiritually? Have you surrendered your life to God? Being born again can never happen by saying, I'm now going to be good. Being born again can never happen by saying, I'm going to start going to church. Being born again is when you open your life up and invite God to come in, and His Holy Spirit comes into your body, into your life, and gives you new life. And it is so radical, the Bible calls it being born again. A transformation, a change. I just get a sense this morning that the Holy Spirit's knocking on some doors here. And maybe today's your first Sunday here, maybe it's your second, maybe you've been here for a month or a couple of months or even longer. Maybe you've had that experience, but it's so long ago, and you're realizing this morning you have drifted, and the Holy Spirit's calling you back this morning. Is it knocking at the door of your heart? You want to see the kingdom of God? You can. It starts with this initial surrender. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to ask, if you're sensing that stirring in your spirit right now and you want to make a decision, I'm just going to ask in a minute, if you would just let us know where you're at, just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you right where you're at. We're going to ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, give you new life, transform you, change you, that you can begin that journey walking with God. Holy Spirit, just blow among us like the wind right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Knock on the door. There's a hand up here already, all the way in the back. Others that feel the Holy Spirit tugging at you. Another hand right here. Just raise your hand. The Holy Spirit's calling you right now in the name of Jesus. Just raise your hand. Come on. New life being offered right here. Another hand right here. Come on. Come on. That feeling you're having, this is what we're talking about, seeing the kingdom of God. It's not nervousness. That's the Holy Spirit. Can you see it? Can you sense it? Can you respond to it? Anybody else this morning just want to make a decision, turn their life over to God, surrender their life? Raise your hand in the name of Jesus. Let's do this. We're going to pray a real simple prayer for these folks with their hands raised. Real simple prayer, but I believe God's going to honor it. Come into your life, fill you with His Holy Spirit. Begin to open your eyes that you can see the kingdom of God in your life and the lives of those around you. So let's all pray together. Jesus, please come into my life right now. I surrender to you. I call you my Lord. Please forgive me of all my sins. Give me new life. Wash away the past. Make everything new in the name of Jesus right now. New life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Awesome. Do me a favor. After the service, you folks raised your hand. If you want to come on up, and our prayer team, bring our prayer team up front here. We're getting ready to close in prayer. They'd like to just talk with you a little bit, kind of give you some information, help you out. You know, a couple other things. I just sense the Holy Spirit stirring, and I'm thinking of some of the things I heard this Friday, and I just can't get them out of my head. Where's Daniel Sheets? Daniel Sheets, Daniel, come on up here. Daniel, I was so moved by what you shared. I'm going to paraphrase it for this young man, but just come on up here, Daniel. Daniel's been raised by his stepdad, Gary, and shared a little bit the story about how they tried to adopt him and it just didn't work out. I think it was twice they tried to adopt him, isn't that right? And then tried to get his name changed and that didn't work out either. And he was a minor and so he couldn't do it on his own. But when did you turn 18? So September, Daniel turned 18 and he shared with us last night. He changed his last name to be Daniel Sheets in honor of his dad, stepdad. Where's Gary? Gary here? Come on up here, Gary. What an incredible story. That is an incredible story. Yeah, Gary. Man. So stand next to this young man. So I just want to do this. I want to bless you. Daniel, I just got this word that you, as you have honored your stepdad, as you have honored Gary, God's going to honor you. And your life is going to be blessed. This is not a light thing. And I want to work with God. I want to be a part of this with you. So join with me. Let's just pray a blessing over Daniel and Gary. God, I just thank you for what you're doing in Daniel's life and the Sheet family, God. And God, I get this word honor. And I pronounce honor over Daniel, that his life would be blessed with honor, that he honors others, but God, that you honor him. You go before him, God, as he starts the new adventure with college and career, but God, that his path is blessed. Blessed, God. God, we just bless Gary. God, we just bless him. Thank you that he's invested in this young man, God. Just continue to honor him and bless their family, God. Give them the joy of knowing what your will is for their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys are awesome, man. Man. And now, where's Rob at? Where's Rob at? Oh, Rob's up there. Come on down here, Rob. Just one more. Just, I spent time with some of these folks, and like I said, campfire stuff, you just hear things. But I got a chance to talk with Rob a little bit, and I just said, Rob, tell me your story, And you know, how God works in everybody's lives is just so different. Anyway, as it worked out, he was looking for a book for his dad. Come on up here, Rob, and Annelle, come on up here. And how God used this book, and then he was going to give it to his dad, and ended up being for him. And then he was reading the book, and the book said, you're supposed to go to church. And he says to Annelle, we should probably get to church. And they live right down the road. And Annelle says, well, let's check out that Vineyard Church. Looks like something going on there. And now it's been how long, Rob?
4 years.
4 years. 4 years. So, you know, here's what I got, Rob. I just sense that the Holy Spirit's saying your hunger for God is going to be filled, and it's going to be filled as you learn now to start giving spiritual food to others. And I just want to release you, because I think sometimes we think we're never mature enough in the faith. And because of that, and I believe that's a lie. I believe when you have the Holy Spirit and you're taught by God, you're ready to roll. I don't know if I ever told you this, but like when I got saved back in 1973, I was saved August 5th, 1973, and 30 days later, I was considered in the Jesus, communal living style, I was considered an older brother in 30 days and gave my first Bible study. So like, I'm sure it was an awesome study, but you know, but I mean like, you know, I didn't think, well, you know, I have to go to theology school. And, you know, you got the kingdom of God inside of you. You really do. You guys have encountered God. And I'm just sensing the Holy Spirit saying, let's start sending you out. And I really, you're going to have to pray about this, but I just got this word. I think you need to pray about going on one of these mission trips, either the Vietnam one or the Brazil one, that there's something about, like I've shared, when you go on these mission trips, it just pushes you a little bit more. And if you're not in a small group, you need to get in a small group, because I'm going to talk to Mark. I think you guys need to be teaching the Bible. You can do this. You can do this. And now, Rob, you can do this. All right, let's pray. Let's pray God confirms this. But Father God, I truly sense that you're wanting to use this couple. God, that there's a heart that's turned towards you, that you have awakened and stirred. And God, you brought them to this church. You divinely revealed yourself to them. And God, I just believe that you want to fill that, even that greater hunger that they have, but God, that it comes as they learn to teach others, that you would fill them with the confidence, God, and guide them, God, that they would be able to find that opportunity and be able to speak and teach out of your word, God, that they understand you can teach them. I just bless them, God. I thank you for the journey that they're on. I thank you that we get to be a part of it with them, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, man. Love you guys. That was such an awesome weekend, Rob. Really awesome, man. And now, thanks. All right, so we're going to close with a song here. Just have some time for prayer ministry. Our prayer teams are up here. I did really sense an open invitation. Some of you are struggling with something God is speaking to you about, and I just want to say, you need to get it dealt with. If God's speaking to you about it, do it. Do it. I get this word change in some of your lives. It may be a job, a relationship, a move. I don't know, but come on now. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, say yes. So if any of that makes sense to you, or you need some special prayer, our prayer team's up here. I'd love to pray with you as we close with our last song.
Today. Have a blessed week. We'll see you here next week.